This is the Engage Your Destiny podcast, serving our active military, veterans, and families. Welcome to the show, where your destiny is our mission. Hello and welcome to the Engage Your Destiny podcast, where your destiny is our mission. We are serving our active military veterans and their families stationed all over the world. This is Ben Peterson coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee with my right-hand man, Sylvester Jenkins III. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Ben? What's going on, everybody? Hope y'all doing well out there.
Beautiful day to be live.
Yes, sir.
We are talking today about the power of a praying spouse as I've been going through this book, and we are going to talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Talk about you
and me. We're going to talk about it. It's a big deal, and I think it's a topic that does not get covered enough.
Yes, very much so, man. I think that's something that we kind of avoid when it comes down to our relationship. Yep. And I think it's a topic of discussion that we should dive deep into before we jump any further doing anything else in our marriage.
Yeah. And especially as you're coming into, I think we should start before we get into marriage. I think we should talk a little bit to the singles, okay? Here's what I want to say as a man who was a virgin until he was married at 33, okay? Marriage is not going to solve your issues with pornography.
Nope.
Marriage is not going to solve your issues with lusting after other women in the gym or around.
Nope.
Marriage is not going to solve, how much, getting enough sex, not enough sex, all that kind of stuff. Having sex is going to solve no problems.
Right.
And so wherever you're at today, beginning to work and seek the right kind of help for any issues you're having with pornography or with lust and masturbation or any of those kinds of things, whatever you don't deal with before marriage, you are going to deal with times 10 in marriage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think that's deep, man, because I have been sexually active for a long period of time before I even got married. I lost my virginity when I was 15.
Wow.
And so, I've been running this race for quite some time, man. And when it came to me diving deep into a marriage, I was, very headstrong when it came down to sexuality. It was something that was a need of mine.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, there was moments where we had friction in our relationship to where my wife didn't want to do it.
Oh, boy.
Which caused me to want to step out of my marriage,
yep.
Which caused me to view pornography,
yep.
Which caused me to—
Because you deserved it, right?
Because I felt like this was the need of mine. Yeah. I need this. Why are you depriving me? You're my wife,
yeah,
of all people. And then I found out that when it came to it, it was just a difference as far as me not meeting her needs or emotions.
Yeah. And that was so you talk about on a separate podcast about blame.
Yeah.
Which is being lazy and—
Making excuses,
right?
Making excuses.
And so it's blaming her, it's blaming God, it's blaming different situations,
yeah.
Which, pornography and all those kinds of things is the epitome of laziness.
Yes.
Right? Because it's not the perseverance, which you and I have both struggled with it.
Right.
So, we're not condemning here. We're also speaking to the laziness in ourselves. But it's the laziness to not persevere, to not fight for purity, to not be in the fight for to truly honor our wives when we were single or when we were married.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I ran that race, man, and it didn't work out in my favor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It didn't work out.
So that's where we really want to encourage you today. The Bible just has so many amazing, just words about this, about, Job saying, I will not, let my eyes look lustfully upon a young woman, right? Making a covenant with your eyes about what you're going to do with your eyes. The eyes are the lamp to the soul. What the eyes look at, you're literally letting into your soul. When you look at pornography, you are letting Satan directly into your soul.
Yes, sir.
On top of that, there's just some amazing books. So Covenant Eyes is a book that came out that's extremely good. I've Made a Covenant with My Eyes. And then there's just some amazing resources that you can go and look at, especially in your church or locally. One great book that I'd like to recommend is called Your Brain on Porn, and it's Internet Pornography and the Emerging Science of Addiction, which is a fascinating book. I think that there's so much power and understanding, and that there's so much knowledge and knowledge that we can then apply. And so we can understand what we're doing to our brains when we're looking at porn and the addiction that it's creating, I think that's some powerful science that we can use to grow in the issues that we're having. And so this is where we want to encourage you guys. Don't wait until you're married to deal with these issues. Don't wait until you meet the right girl to deal with these issues. It's time to start dealing with them now. And I also want to just make the difference between guilt and shame, which are the feelings we get after we make mistakes. Guilt is the feeling we have that we've done something wrong, okay? We feel guilty. Shame is taking on the identity that I am wrong, that I am bad, that there is something wrong with me. And if you have struggled with pornography, there is nothing wrong with you. We live in an over-sexualized society. Sex is everywhere. Women wear the least amount of clothes that they've ever worn in history.
Yeah.
There is no modesty whatsoever. And pornography and sex is more accessible than it's ever been in the history of the world. And so that's where we want to put grace in front of you, but also call you to the next level in your life, in your faith, and in the future that God has for your life with your spouse. It's time to deal with it now. And how do you do that? By bringing it out into the light, bringing it forth to trust relationships with people like Sylvester and myself, also with people in Bible study, all those kinds of things so that this can get dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. Another book that I think is highly recommended during this time frame is called Every Man's Battle, Winning the War on Sexual Temptation, One Victory at a Time. It's a great book. It goes in depth not only about the lust, but then also dealing with pornography, addictions in there, also like adultery. It goes very deep into like the battles that men face sexually when it comes down to our lives, because it's a part of life.
Yeah,
it's a part of life. You're prone to want to be active sexually.
Yeah,
it's how we created, man. We're wired like that. That's how we create life.
Yeah.
You know, God wired us in that way. So,
he wired us for it.
Yeah. So don't feel bad when you find yourself at a position of feeling like, you know, you need to be sexually active. It's just how you go about doing that during that time, you know, and you have the power to overcome those sensations whenever you find yourself in that position. It's a level of discipline that you just got to develop.
Yeah. So, you know, in talking about sex and marriage, you know, we want to spend a few minutes just getting to know some understandings between men and women, okay?
Yeah.
Which obviously, surprise, surprise, as we've been learning about the power of praying a spouse, we are complete opposites.
Yeah.
Women are like spaghetti, everything's connected to everything, and men are like waffles. It's one thing at a time, totally disconnected.
Yeah.
And so for a man's, you know, sex is not only one of man's greatest drives, but it's one of his greatest needs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for men, sex is a physical act, and for women, it's a lot more complex. It's extremely hard for a woman to separate herself from the emotions, memories, thoughts, and experiences of the day enough for it to be strictly just physical. And for any woman who is just making it strictly physical, there's probably some areas of wounding, probably some areas of trauma or sexual abuse that have basically shut off those areas of connection to just compartmentalize it into one area, which she's learned to guard for herself.
Yeah.
And so that's where we want to encourage you today to gain a deeper level of understanding. If you're a female, that for your man, this is one of his greatest drives. It's one of the things that is most important to him. And if you're a man and you're listening to this, sex with your wife is about a lot more than just a physical act. It's not just a physical release.
Yeah.
It is a complex emotional experience, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into how to understand her a little bit better so you can have a better sex life.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think as far as women, sex is at the bottom of the list.
Mm.
It's not the top priority as it is for a man. It's not a requirement or a need, but having that emotional connection with your spouse or your girlfriend or whoever it might be is one of the main things that you need to recognize when it comes down to catering to them.
Yeah. So, you know, what I found fascinating in this book is that a wife's sexuality is wrapped up into two things. How she feels about you and how she feels about herself.
Yeah.
And how she feels about herself has a lot to do with the way that she has been treated by other men.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's a deep thing, man, because if you don't understand her history or her past as far as dealing with sex in any kind of way, like she might have been molested and just shut off and grew numb to any type of sexual experience.
Or cheated on.
Yeah. And, you know, just shut herself off completely when it comes down to that area. Now, you're feeling deprived.
Yeah.
But it's something that y'all never took the opportunity to discuss.
To talk about.
To talk about, to bring to light in order to destroy the enemy as far as the stronghold that he has on her. And now it's causing a wedge within your relationship.
Mm. One of the things that I've really found, because Rachel and I are extremely different people. And, you know, we've had a tough go of it these first couple of years of marriage. And, you know, we've entered into some really beautiful seasons. But, you know, we were determined that no topic is off limits and there's nothing we're not willing to work on.
Yeah.
And so that opened us up to a lot of tough conversations, a lot of fights, a lot of things we had to go through. But I think that we need to really encourage you guys today to have the mindset in your marriage as you're pursuing God. Like Bill Johnson has this amazing quote that he's always said that I've prayed many times in my life. Lord, I love you more than anything else. Help me to love you more than anything else. And if there's anything in the way of getting, if there's anything in the way keeping me from loving you more, help me get it out of my life.
Mm.
And that's like, that's how our relationship with God should be, right? Well, it's the same with our spouse.
Right.
I want to love her completely, fully. And if there's anything getting in the way of me loving her more, then God, help me to get it out of my life.
Right.
Help me to get it out of the way. And if we have that kind of mindset, then these different, you know, minefields that we get into or these different bombs that can go off or these issues that we're just not dealing with that become habitual sins or habitual issues, it's going to end up destroying us from the inside out.
Yeah.
I want you to put a determination in your life right now that there's nothing you're not willing to work on or tackle or go through the experience of healing from.
Yeah. I mean, man, like I'll be honest, like me and Denise, man, we did not develop a healthy marriage or relationship. It took us 10 years.
Wow.
So we never had that foundation of like, hey, whatever goes on, we're going to tackle it.
Having those conversations,
man, we did not do that until we was on the verge of divorcing, like completely, like paperwork done and everything else. And at that point in time, we said, man, we're going to truly devote ourselves to God, switch the D with a G, and just fully commit to everything that he has for our relationship. And that's when all the woodworks come out. I'm talking about I was crying, she was crying.
Yeah.
We letting go of all our, you know what I'm saying, like inner demons and everything else, man. But it brought us closer.
Yeah.
It brought us closer to a point, man, where now we have sex like 3 to 5 times a week.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Daddy's happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's happy because I connected with her emotionally. So it's all one big happy family.
Everybody's good.
Everybody's
we're
good.
We're more on the 2 to 3 because we have a 2-year-old and we're exhausted.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, and that's what I've appreciated so much about my marriage and with my wife is she's understood how important sex is for me.
Yeah.
And she's understood it and you know, she loves it too as well. But that's where there's a communication aspect, especially if I'm going on the road,
right.
I have to go work, things like that. I'm preaching, whatever. She wants me to be able to be free and not have to, have pent up without a release. Right.
Yeah.
But that's also, you know, her loving and caring for me.
Right.
Because I try to be loved and cared for in her emotions and what she needs, right?
Absolutely.
And so this is a give and take thing. And I think that pornography has really conditioned and trained us that sex is about me getting gratified.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there and you're watching porn and you're pleasing yourself, it's all about you and what makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Sex is a dance.
Yeah.
Sex is an experience. And what you're experiencing in a given moment could be exactly what is going to please her, but it's not necessarily giving you the itty bitties and the goodies to get you what you want, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the dance happens with intimacy, and that it's about meeting her needs and then her meeting your needs.
Yeah.
And you doing that together to please and to love each other.
Yeah.
Which that is the framework for life.
Yeah.
In that I'm here to serve you whether something is really what I want or not.
Right.
But if I'm conditioning myself just for selfishness and for my own pleasure, then she's not going to feel loved and cared for, and she's not going to want to have sex with me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. And I know, like, what you stated here, like, you know, how she feels about herself. How she feels about herself, man. Like, in that midst of that, you as her husband, if you're not making her feel wanted, you're not making her feel loved,
sexy,
or anything like that, what makes you think she's going to be open to have any type of sexual relationship?
Well, and what's fascinating in this book, they really talk about how you can have a profound impact on how your wife feels about herself.
Yeah.
Through your words, through your touches, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's days where, you know, your wife doesn't always put in the effort, you know, maybe to make herself look or be the sexiest that you would see on a porn video or whatever, or like out at some elegant thing. But you know, that's where, hey, love is patient, love is kind.
Right.
And I love this person, not necessarily what they're going to do for me.
Yeah.
And so if I can love her and I can be caring towards her and I can make her feel like, you can make your wife feel beautiful.
Yeah.
You can make your wife feel like she's the most important person in the room.
Absolutely.
You can make your wife feel like she just, you know, makes you all excited. And sometimes that has to be built a little bit. There needs to be a little manufacturing there.
Oh, you got to.
But, got to. But if you give it, then before you know it, dude, she's coming out of the bathroom all ready for you, and boom, like it's ready to roll. But maybe that wasn't the case 3 hours ago with the kids, right? I mean, let's be real. And so that's where, again, blame.
Yeah.
Be lazy and
making excuses.
And making excuses. And it's like, oh, well, you know, my wife's in yoga pants and she's got her hair in a bun. She doesn't look good. And you know what? She doesn't love me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to blame her. I'm just going to blame her because I don't feel, no, dude, you're the leader of this house.
Right.
You're the God commissioned person to be the leader. Go love that woman.
Yeah.
Go have some empathy for the day that she just had.
Yeah.
Go have some empathy for the things that she's experienced that you're not even dealing with. Have some empathy for her story and what she's been through, or the way the other men have made her feel, and show up and love her, and don't be selfish.
Yeah, make her feel like a queen, man. I think that's one of the biggest things, man. Like, it got to a point where I found myself in a position of working towards that point of sexual. Like, you know what I'm saying? The good morning text, you know, how you doing?
Thinking
beautiful.
About you.
I'm thinking about you. She already giggling and everything else. When I come through the door, I just want to see your smiling face. I love your smile. You know, going ahead and working her up to the point that she just come in just open.
See, but that's taking you 10 years.
Oh, yeah, man. It took me a decade, man, to figure that out. Initially, I thought, like, you just supposed to give it to me.
Yeah.
Just give it to me. Even when we had an argument or a spat, I thought the best way to reconcile
just have some that
makeup
sex.
Yeah. Yep. That was it, man. And she wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Not happening.
Not happening.
Yeah, I remember experiencing that too. And I thought, well, sex is a way that we can come back together.
Yeah.
And she's like, but you haven't emotionally come back.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't reconnected emotionally. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
I know, right?
I said, I'm sorry, you're sorry, and let's go have sex.
Yeah.
And that, man, that did not cut it.
No, at all, man. So now it's at a point, man, where I'm working it. Like, hey, I'm going to get mine. We're going to get ours.
Yeah.
We're going to get this time together. We're going to experience pure bliss. We about to get this.
I think one of the greatest breakthroughs I've ever had in my marriage and the kind of my mental health, I should say, around my marriage has been around that so much of what my wife is dealing with has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
The day that she's had, the challenges that she's had, the past that she's had, the men that have done horrible things to her and treated her and horrible and cheated on her and all this kind of stuff, like, it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But I've just been, you know, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
And so I've really struggled with taking everything personally and making everything about me, because when I was a kid, it was all about me, right?
Right.
And so that's been a real area of growth in going, you know what? This has nothing to do with me.
Right.
This has nothing to do with me.
Mm.
And if I can learn to love her in the midst of these circumstances and separate myself from it, then I'm not going to blame her. I'm not going to be lazy and
make
excuses.
Love it. That's good stuff, bro.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's also an element of this that I think is really important when it comes to men understanding women a little bit, is that if a woman is seeking the affection of a man in where she's at in her life, or if she's not seeking the affection of a man in where she's at in her life, it'd be really important to gain some empathy and understanding the story of your wife with her relationship with her dad.
Mm.
Now, you have daughters.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
Yeah, man. Like, the father is the first example. The father is the first example that a daughter sees in a man.
Yeah.
So any man that the daughter sees, she gonna see him in the same light that she's seen her father.
Yeah.
And if he was never there, she will never know what it feels like to be treated with a love of a beauty. Never be spoken into. I speak into my daughter like it's no tomorrow.
And how many fathers are out there? How many daughters are out there that the fathers never spoke in, never loved them, sitting on their phone, missing those moments, all that kind of stuff.
And they just falling for anything when it comes down to these duds, man.
These
men that just take advantage of them and destroy their whole lives, man. Then they be stuck thinking like, this is how all men are.
And when you see a woman who's confident, who knows who she is, who's secure, who's going into life and she's not going to settle, dude, she's got a daddy who loved her, who showed up for her, who made her feel secure.
Yeah.
So she's not through insecurity seeking the love of a man.
Yep. And I with my daughter, man, we do daddy-daughter dates. Because, you know, some guy ain't just finna take my daughter to Wendy's.
Yeah.
Ain't finna just take her to Mickey D's and expect to get a Happy Meal. That ain't how this game goes.
That works on so many levels.
Yeah. You finna treat my daughter like royalty, man.
Yeah,
so
right.
When it comes down to any activity, the man that presents or takes my daughter off my hands, he better bring his A game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, as we look at this, you know, to kind of summarize, if you're single, do everything you can to fight for purity. And there is so much grace in your journey. Our young people today, you know, I was exposed to pornography when I was around 11 years old. You know, this is stuff that's been hardwired into our brains, but the grace and the mercy and the power of God is greater and more powerful than all of that. And so if you are seeking pornography in your life, I want to just ask you, where is your relationship with God? And what is going on in your life that is causing this emotional struggle because you're just trying to medicate? There's a self-soothing that is taking place with either a self-hatred that you're dealing with, something that you don't like about yourself, something you don't like about the way God made you, something you don't like about a situation. Maybe there's feelings of rejection. Maybe there's feelings of self-hatred. Maybe there's feelings of getting into a position where your people are putting expectations on you, your family, your parents, things like that, and you're seeking out pornography or things like that as a form of comfort. Okay. Well, are we seeking the comfort of Christ? Because the power of the Holy Spirit can bring that level of comfort. But also, what are the areas of your life that you're trying to self-soothe? Because that can also look like alcohol, like e-cigs, like food, whatever, right? Pornography is just another form of self-soothing. So let's identify that and let's begin to grow through it so that you can have a very healthy sexual relationship going forward. Next, if you are married and you are a woman, please understand that sex is a fundamental need for your man. And sometimes it is a very physical need. And so you having empathy and grace for that, right, is really, really important. On the flip side, men, you are called to be the leaders of your home. And so in that, you need to learn that sex is not just a physical act for your wife, but it's a very emotional, connected thing with what's going on with her day, with her hair and all the things, all right? And so you can gain emotional empathy with that because I can tell you as a testament, my wife has gone through horrible days, struggles, all that kind of stuff. Last thing she wants to do is have sex, but because of the way I've loved, I've nurtured, all those kinds of things, and I'm in a physical need, she has come and loved and served and come alongside of me and been a great helpmate in those areas, and it's turned the tide. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where we really want to encourage you is that going to these deeper levels of understanding is only going to make you healthier.
Yes, sir. I think, man, you hit the nail on the head with everything that you just said, man. And if you don't find yourself in a position where you don't take none of this to heart, man, like, you're doing yourself an injustice, man.
Yeah.
Like I said before, and I'll say it again, don't cheat yourself, treat yourself.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Guys, God bless you. Pray for your spouses and also pray for your future spouse if you're not married yet. Begin to pray for that person. Begin to pray for the desires of their heart to become and be fulfilled. Pray for the works then for the perfect time and for God to bring you two together. And if you're married and you're not praying for your spouse, you are wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to see change. You want to see transformation. You want to see growth. You want to see all these things in your family. Dude, pray for your spouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure you matching what you expect from your spouse.
Mm.
Don't sit there and say, oh, I want this person to have this, that, and that, and you don't have none of that. Match exactly what you want your spouse to do.
This is for the singles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're married and you want these things,
you got to do it too. Yeah, you got to do it too.
You want empathy?
Yeah.
Give it. You want grace,
you want sex, you want all these things, man. You want to be a priority, make your spouse a priority.
Bam. God bless you guys, and we'll see you soon.